Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Loving and gracious Father in heaven above, we bow our heads and our hearts before thee in prayer. As we always do, even before we would open thy holy word, we ask thee, Father, to bless it richly to our hearts, guide our thoughts, and bless us richly. Bless our gathering, Father, and open our ears and our mind and our heart, that we would gladly receive thy blessed and holy and most precious word. Be with us, Father, this day and all the days of our life. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. With God's help for this morning, our services, let us find and read together from the Gospel according to St. Luke from chapter 8. Let's read the first 18 verses. Luke chapter 8, first 18 verses, to God's honor and to God's glory. Sveto Evangelje po Luki, 8. glava, prvih 18 stihova, Bogu na hvalu i na čast, a nama za nauku. Luke chapter 8. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and he was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that had ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he had lighted a candle, covereth it with the vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever had, to him shall be given, and whosoever had not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Dear loving family, God's family, it is truly a blessing to be able to gather ourselves together once again in his holy house, house of prayer. In God's name, we're all together here, where we can hear his blessed and most holy word, word of life. God's word gives us life. If we're willing to accept it, if we're willing to hear it, accept it, live by it. And this story here, the parable that Jesus gave to the people that were listening, speaks about his holy word. It says that Jesus went through every city and village. He walked around many different places, preaching the glad tidings, preaching the blessed and precious word of God. And there were many that were gathered together, just like we are gathered together this morning hour. And he named some of them, some of the women that were with him, those that served Jesus, that served God. They were also following him, not just the 12 disciples. There were many that really had the desire, the thirst to hear God's word and to receive it. But there were many that just followed him for different reasons, to catch him, to accuse him, to find some fault against him. Some were just curious. So as he was speaking, he started telling them a parable, and he explains why he used parables. But the mystery of the parable, as Brother mentioned in the prayer, was always explained to those that wanted to hear, that wanted to understand, especially his disciples. But to those that did not want to understand, it was hidden from them, because they did not want to hear it. They did not want to understand. They came for a wrong reason. So he starts out this parable. He said, a sower went out to sow his seed. Now we know, since we read this many times, the seed, as Jesus also explains, is the word of God. And this seed has been sown even today. Even before we would start preaching from God's word, it has been sown. If we read our Bible this morning or yesterday, the seed was sown. It was sown through the song that we found, that we read, that we sang, God's word. Through a prayer, as we pray, the seed of God is sown. So the question is not whether the seeds, God's word, has been sown. The question is, where did the seed fall? So as Jesus tells this parable, I think everyone in those days understood what it meant for someone to go out and sow the seeds. The question was not about how you sow. The question was what it meant. It was an allegory. It meant something else. Even his disciples at first did not quite understand. So when they were alone, they said, tell us the parable of the sower. Explain to us. They knew about sowing in the field, but they did not know the hidden meaning of it. I'm sure if we heard it first time ever, we would take it literally also. Someone, the farmer, went out to throw the seeds, and some went into the ground, some went on the road, on the side. And the birds, we can see that if we have sown any kind of seeds, the birds will come and take them. Or the seeds that would fall into stony ground where the rocks are on the bottom, there's not much soil. So it does spring up because the roots cannot go deep, so it goes up. It grows, but not enough moisture. not enough ground, soil, then it doesn't last long. Or the ones that go into the garden that's full of weeds, it'll still come up, but the weeds are always stronger. It will just destroy it. So Jesus, after he mentioned that parable to them, he says to them, he says, "He that had ears to hear, let him hear." Which means he that wants to understand, because we all have ears, we can all hear. But do we want to understand? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, those that came to accuse him, to find fault, they had ears to hear, but they did not want to understand. So Jesus explains to his disciples, we can read it in Mark chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 13, I believe, the same parable. So the disciples, when they were alone, they said, "Explain to us." And he says, "Don't you understand this parable?" They still did not get it, but they wanted to. They had a desire. There are many times that we read the gospel or something in the Old Testament, we read it, we have a desire to understand, but we just don't get it. So what do? We pray to God, we read it again, we talk to brothers and sisters to see what it means, what the Word of God means. It is for our own benefit to understand it and to receive it. So he explains to his disciples, he says, "Unto you," to them, to those that were following him, "it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others," who are these others? The people that do not want to know, that do not love God, that do not care to know God, those are the others. They only get parables. They get even more confused. It's not that God wants people to be confused. He wants everyone to come to the knowledge and understanding of his word. But you have to have that desire. You have to have that will, the zeal. You can only help those people that want help. There are many that have addictions with different things. The only way we can help them, if they have a desire, if they really cry out and say, "I need help." The eunuch, when he was on his way to Jerusalem, he says, "How can I understand unless someone teaches me, unless someone explains it to me?" He was reading, but he didn't quite understand. He wanted to understand. That's why God showed him the mysteries. And he had the understanding of God's word. So now he explains here. He says, now the parable is this. As I mentioned, the seed is the word of God. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and take it away." Those that hear. It doesn't say those that do not hear. Those that hear. And the seed, it's interesting, in Matthew and Mark, it says, the seed falls in the heart. Even though here, I always thought for many years, as I was reading this, in my mind was when the seed would fall by the wayside, in my mind was it was not in my heart, it was next to me, it was on the side. And that could be the reason for some people, you don't really listen. You don't want to hear. But it says here that they hear it. And in Matthew it says, it goes in the heart. When we hear something, naturally it should go into our heart. And we meditate upon it, we think about it. Then we make that decision whether we want to accept it or not. So those that do not want to hear the word of God, even though they hear it, it goes into the heart, the devil comes and takes it away. How can the devil have so much power to take the word of God from our heart? He cannot unless we allow him to. If we really want to guard it and keep it, devil cannot take it away. Simple as that. It says the birds come and take it away, steal it, they devour it. So there are four groups of people that Jesus speaks about. So the first one was where the seed falls by the wayside. The devil comes, takes it away out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. If you don't have Word of God within you, how can you believe? How can you be saved? It's not in you. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, it's not observed, it's not seen, it's within you, it's within us. It does not come by observation. The kingdom of God is within us. It's the Word of God. They, on the rock, second group of people, are they which, when they hear, again, they hear, receive. They even receive it with joy, with gladness. But, it says, and these have no root. We know that any tree that is planted, if the roots are shallow, if they're not deeply rooted or grounded, when the wind comes, falls down. I'm sure we've seen, even here, many trees go down because the roots are not deep or the moisture is too soft. The trees go down. So they're here, it goes into the heart, it's received with joy, but in time of temptation, anything that comes, any persecution, temptation, and he says, I believe it's in either Matthew or Mark, he said, because of the word of God, they're offended. They're done. Those that are not deeply grounded and rooted cannot stand the wind, the big waves, temptation, any kind of persecution. We have to be deeply rooted. We have to be as a tree that is planted by the waters that brings forth fruit to God's honor and to God's glory. And then there's a third group of people. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when again they would hear, it goes into the heart, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. If we worry too much about this life, the riches, other pleasures, any kind of pleasures, anything that's not spiritual, if we worry too much about it, that's on our mind, in our mind, in our heart, we dwell on it constantly, then there's no room for Word of God because our mind is busy with worldly things. That does not mean that one cannot be rich. If God blessed us with riches of this world where we can help others, that's fine. But we should not meditate and think and care about the riches of this world and be so busy that we don't have time for God's word. When it's choked, what is it choked by? By the weeds. I'm sure we've seen gardens that have vegetables planted, and yet if it's not taken care of, what happens? The weeds grow. And who plants the weeds? Spiritually, it's Satan. He's the one that plants the weeds. That's another story, the parable that Jesus told them. Satan, enemy, he comes and he plants the weeds. In our gardens that we might have at home, we do not even have to plant the weeds. Nobody plants the weeds. They grow automatically. It's the curse on the earth that when Adam and Eve sinned, he said that he told Adam he will till the ground, but the weeds and thistles will grow. He will have to weed it out, take it out. And then the fourth group of people, verse 15, he says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now the question to all of us, which heart do we have? Which group of people do we belong to? I can answer for myself. Everyone has to answer for themselves. Examine your own heart to see if it's a good ground. Is it shallow, full of rocks and stones? Is it full of weeds and thorns? Does the word come in, and as soon as it comes in our heart, it flies away, goes away. Satan takes it away. I hope and pray that our heart is prepared, as Brother mentioned in the prayer, to prepare our hearts to be a good ground. Is it easy to prepare ground? Literally speaking, we all know we have to till it, roller-till it. It has to be a good ground. You have to have fertilizer in it. It has to be a sunny location. You got to pull all the weeds out. It's a lot of work. But the result, it's a blessing. Just like here he says, bring forth fruit with patience. To bring forth, in Matthew and Mark it says, to bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60, or 100. Not everyone brings 100. Not every garden brings 100-fold. But even 30 or 60, according to our ability. But what happens if it brings forth 29-fold? Not quite 30. They're not quite make it. Almost. As we heard recently about King Agrippa, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. What did he have? Which group did he belong to? It sure wasn't the ones that prepared their heart. It was a good ground. He had the riches. He had the fame. The power, authority. People looked up to him. He was a king. How would he be able to humble himself? If he trusted in God, he would have been able to humble himself, but he looked at the people. What would people say? Even throughout the Bible, we can read, people were afraid to go see Jesus because they would be thrown out of the synagogues. Even Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by night, so nobody would see him. He was a little bit afraid too. He was the ruler. But at least he came. He wanted to know. He wanted to see Jesus. He had a desire. He worked hard. So let's bring forth fruit to God's honor and to God's glory. So Word of God, in the time of Jesus, was sown by Jesus as he went from city to city, from village to village. After he died, after he was crucified and resurrected, his disciples, those that followed him, they continued spreading the words, sowing the seeds of life in God's kingdom. Now, they're not with us anymore. It's up to us now. The seed, the word of God, has to be sown. As long as we are on the face of this earth, the gospel needs to be preached. And as I mentioned earlier, through songs, through prayer, through reading, through meditating, through speaking to one another at workplaces, at schools, anywhere we go. If it's possible, let's spread the gospel of God, the glad tidings of kingdom of God. It is up to us to proclaim God's word and God's message any which way we can. And may we truly ask God to help us to prepare our heart to be a good ground. And that we would sow only good seed in our mind. You know, our mind is like a garden, and our thoughts are like the seeds. We can grow weeds or we can grow flowers. It is up to us. In Galatians, we read, chapter in Galatians, chapter 6, verse 7, it begins with verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So the seed, the word of God, is pure, it's good. The seed of the devil is evil, simple as that. So whatever we sow in our mind, in our heart, that's what we will reap. If we sow to our flesh, then we will reap what? Corruption. Yes, all kinds of things enter into our mind. But what do we do? What do we do to the garden that we planted good seed? And then the weeds grow. Do we just let them be? Or do we go and pull the weeds? Do we wait until it's fully grown with the weeds and chokes the vegetable or the fruit? Or do we go and pull it out? So if things enter into our mind that's not spiritual, and it will, it does happen many times. Devil's always out there, day and night, trying to plant his seed into our hearts and our minds. And he does go in. But we all know when we see our garden at home, we know which one is a vegetable, which one is a weed. So we know if something enters into our mind that's not of the Spirit, it's not of God, what do we do with it? Take it out. Stop thinking about it. Pull it out. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. Is it impossible? Of course not. It's hard work. But we have to pull the weeds out so the fruit can bring forth, the fruit that is brought forth can be to perfection, to God's honor and to God's glory. It's a lot of work, but we trust in God, and he helps us to prepare our hearts to be a good ground. We know a story of David when he was about to leave this world, and he charged his son Solomon to build a house. David wanted to build, but we know that the prophet told him that he will not build because much blood was shed in his time, and he says that his son will build a house. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, I believe, speaks about David saying that the house that is about to be built has to be of great glory, magnificent. There was a lot of work. And he helped his son to prepare the lumber in abundance. Solomon needed help to prepare the lumber to build the house of God, just like we need help preparing our heart to be a good ground. Where do we get this help? From the Word of God. From God. Through reading, through preaching, through prayer, through singing, through meditating. That's how we prepare it. It has to be a good ground. In Genesis, Genesis 26 speaks about Isaac. He said, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great." And so on. He sowed from God's blessing, and he reaped from God's blessing. It says hundredfold. Let us be in constant prayer to our Heavenly Father, who will help us to prepare our hearts, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to come before God in humbleness and in true meekness, and ask God to help us to be prepared when we listen to God's word, when we read. It's so easy sometimes when we read our mind to just wander off, just go into the different direction, just like when the seed is sown by the wayside. Satan comes and takes it away, goes to different directions. The mind just wanders off. That happens sometimes. So we have to concentrate when we read, when we pray, when we listen, that we would ask God to keep our minds focused on His Word and His will and His commandments, that we would not allow Satan to steal God's Word from our heart. Because the Word of God does come to our heart. We hear it, we listen, and I know that since we have this whole Bible before us, we read it many times, we understand. We are more fortunate than the disciples were. They did not have what we have today. We have God, Jesus, we have the whole and holy Word before us. And it's in front of us. We have it at home. We have it everywhere. Different languages, so we can all understand. All we have to do is use it, open it, open the book. Do we read enough? It's another question we should be asking ourselves. Do we truly read God's Word? Or do we just read on the Sunday when the brother's reading and we're following? Or do we take time at home and read and meditate upon it? And then examine our own heart and our own selves and to see, do we really follow God's Word? Are we preparing our hearts to be a good ground? If it's not, should we say, well, I'm not really prepared, so we'll just leave it like that? Or do we try hard through prayer to ask God to help us? Even those of us that have been converted, it's possible that the Word of God will come and Satan will steal it, take it away. Or the cares of this world, the riches, the pleasures, Jesus writes in another gospel, other pleasures, different kinds of pleasures. Anything that's not from God, it's a worldly pleasure. Does that choke it? Or is our faith shallow? Will we believe, but we have doubts? Even if that comes to our mind, we need to keep in prayer and ask God to help us so that He would deliver us from all evil, that He would deliver us from temptations. We get tempted all the time. But even if we do get tempted, God is always near us, next to us, beside us. He's above us. He is here, willing and ready to help us, to protect us from His word. I hope and pray that even these few words that I was able to speak, through God's help, that these seeds, God's word, would find room within our heart and that it would bring forth fruit to God's honor and to God's glory. And may God bless His word. Amen.
As the Word of God would speak to our hearts, I believe the Lord can inspire so many thoughts and direct us and guide us exactly where we need to go. And as we were listening to the Word, what really stood out to me as I considered this is what makes that good ground different. At least for me this morning, just would like to share the honesty and patience. In the other examples of this parable, the wayside is described as those that don't understand. And if I'm honest with myself, I don't understand as well as I should, and I need to seek and ask and knock. And the Lord promises to answer and to open to those who would be honest and come to Him and seek. Those that would be on that rocky ground, that make a start and have an appearance of potential, but then falter in times of temptation, patience is needed. We read in 2 Peter to add to our faith with diligence, add to our faith virtue, knowledge, and all of the good graces of the Lord and charity. And he says if we do these things, we'll never fall. It's important to be patient. It's important that the daily tasks, those small things, that we show faithfulness in those things. We all are excited about a great harvest, and we want it right now, don't we? But who will be patient? They will be tested, and they will be proven true. God, help us to have patience, that in the small challenges and in those day-to-day tasks, that we would show patience and bring forth the fruit to God's honor and glory. And those on the thorny ground, we need to hear the word of Jesus Christ. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. How deceptive and how fleeting are possessions here in this world. It is a goal that people aspire to, but it is only a mirage. We seem to have it, and we have to leave it. So let us seek what Jesus taught, the good tidings of the kingdom of God, and possess His kingdom within our hearts by faith, obedience, and through patience. May we seek for eternal life. May God bless His word. Amen.